This is On The Wire, Racing TV's podcast for the best racing previews in association with Bar One Racing.
Hello and welcome to a special On The Wire recorded on a Wednesday. It's the end of the summer, I think, in Ireland. It is baking hot at the moment, which means obviously the racecourse may have to water ahead of what is a bumper run of schedule in terms of Irish race meetings. We're going to look at the Ferry Bridge Stakes and a little bit of Tipperary on Thursday, but we're mainly going to be concentrating on a little bit of Down Royal and primarily the Curragh on Friday when Ben Cohn, the Ebor hero, is our special guest, and he has a very good book of rides both Thursday and Friday. As ever, we're joined by Bar One Racing's Johnny MacDonald, Fran Berry of various masters at the moment. Fran, you were this morning, you were up, I think, doing a bit for HRI at the great Kevin Prendergast. You did suggest that you might be late because Kevin and yourself do like a bit of the black stuff, but you're obviously here.
Yeah, Kevin had to stand me up on that front. He's going playing golf at 11:20 with my dad. There was a four ball that they play at least once a week when they can. And no, it was great to catch up with him. He's some man. And if we get any of us looking or present, who get as much of a good run at things as he's had in the way he enjoys life, he's an example to all to make the most of it. And great to see him. And I'm here currently in a car park at Donabate Beach. My kids are out on the beach, and I've took a break time out to come and talk to y'all. So all good. Oh,
admirable. And Kevin, I think he told me he gave up cigarettes at 50. What do you think his secret is apart from that? The fishing, the golf, the couple of pints of Guinness, the racecourse winners, being around horses?
Combination of everything, and I think it's a mindset, is it? I think he thinks young, he never stops moving, positive, you know, always looking forward. That's the way I'd look at it, and he's full of energy, but you got to keep moving, don't you? If he gets, you know, sat still, I can see how people can go downhill. He's very active all months of the year, whether it's shooting, golf, having a few pints, whatever.
Yeah, I'm not sure having a few pints is necessarily staying active, but if that's the case, I've been active for a long, long time. Johnny Mac, have you been active on the bike this week? It's one of those weeks where you just have to get out and ride.
Yeah, no, I haven't been out at all, Johnny. I've been caught up in the office, but I am off for the next 3 days, so I'm going to make full use of it. I think this good weather is to continue right into next week.
It is indeed. I went to cycle up to Sally Gap yesterday. It was absolutely amazing. What was almost amazing were our tips naps last weekend. Fran Berry, Heavenly Power, 1-7-2. Johnny Mac, Druid's Altar, 1-9-4. JW, Elite de Mott, second at 17-2. Beaten by Shane Olin horse, having probably gone well odds on and running after looking like winning. Fran, so near but yet so far.
Have you heard?
No, we nearly had a treble. Are you even listening?
Excuse me. Yeah, no, it was a big day. And good to see that we're getting a little bit of momentum with these naps. Hopefully we can keep it going. Heavenly Power was quite sweet. And I managed to tip it to Half York on Saturday. And the race is run at 7:40. My train is leaving at 7:30. So it didn't really matter if it won or lost, but at least it won anyway. So
that's a beautiful feeling. Like, I've often given tips to taxi drivers because I know I never see them again, which of course isn't the case in Dublin, because you'll see a taxi driver a year later and you'll say, that thing you gave me a year ago is still running.
Exactly. And everybody I met said, if you have a bad day, this Heavenly Power will get you out of jail. And thankfully it did, and a lot of appreciative text afterwards, and we'll finish up a great week in York.
Yeah, and Druid's Altar, who I rather questioned your sanity on, Johnny Mac, did the job as well.
Yeah, and I think you could have called him a winner a long way out, Johnny. We mentioned he was getting the age allowance, and his jumping was very, very good. And when JJ Slevin pressed on down the back straight, you could see he had them all on the stretch. They were in trouble a long way out.
Let's have a look at the performance of the weekend in Ireland anyway, before we talk the Ebor with Ben Cohn. And that had to be the son of Australia, Point Lonsdale, in the futurity.
Little changes. Having passed the halfway stage, it's Point Lonsdale, a couple of lengths in front of Maritime Wings, under pressure in between them. Is Manu at Cordy and then the Entertainer. Point Jellybrand in the Acropolis with 2 furlongs to go in the Galileo Irish EBF Futurity Stakes. The leader is Point Lonsdale, chased by Maritime Wings, then Manu at Cordy. Point Jellybrand is on the outside, and they're followed by the Entertainer and the Acropolis. But in the lead is Point Lonsdale, now 3 clear from Maritime Wings. Running on into third place is the Acropolis, but it's Point Lonsdale keeping his unbeaten record and reputation intact. Wins the Galileo Futurity for Ryan Moore and Aidan O'Brien. Maritime Wings second, the Acropolis in third.
Fran, I was up with Willie McCreary's yesterday. What a morning. Doing a little bit of just doing a bit of promotion for ICW or whatever. Willie's another trainer that has put you in good form. Amazing morning. It's Curra. He was on about this point, Longsdale, and he said, this fella is only a shell of a horse. Like, he's not even remotely close to how he's going to be physically. And granted, he was a 1-6 favourite, but he's exciting.
Really is. And the hype machine is well underway across the water as well, with Reach for the Moon, who Point Lonsdale beat on that occasion in Chesham Stakes, obviously emerging on Saturday also as the big UK high profile 2-year-old, of course, owned by the Queen. And Point Lonsdale, he just gets the job done, doesn't he? And I don't think he's had really the strength of opposition to test him. He just goes through the motions. But it's that last half furlong, when he's asked to go, the way he gets down to gallop and goes through the line, that it would excite you. And I'd love to see him in a rematch. I know who I'd be backing anyway. But I think Pine Lonsdale, is he more of a Virtan Futurity horse going a mile in that class rather than 7 in the Dewhurst? I'm not really sure Newmarket at 7 would play to his strengths, but he's a high-class horse who I think, Johnny, as you said, given his breeding and the frame of him, is only going to get better next year.
He's a full brother to Broome, obviously. Just on that, Fran, it's a very, very small percentage of horses, like a really, really small, I would imagine, that have that capacity to kind of find that extra gear, because horses tend to slow down at the end of races.
They do, and it's, I suppose, good ones. He technically is probably slowing down a little bit, but he's a little bit faster than the rest of them, and he's got the power at the end of it. And you'd have to think whatever he's doing at this trip, you know, even a mile, but next year we get him up there. You know, you'd love to see him, all things being equal, start off in a Durrenstown next year and stamp himself as a Derby horse. He could be very, very exciting, stepping up to 1.5 miles. And he's by far and a long way the best 2-year-old that Aidan has, with the exception of the horse to won at Killarney, won the winner's race. Michael Hussey won them, and they're the only two that he's really got now. Westerberg was it anyway? Yeah, but either them, but Pine Lonsdale's the real deal at the minute.
Yeah, and Johnny Mack in the Phillies race, obviously Gartha did a nice job for Caravaggio, another horse to make all the running, and she actually won well by 2 lengths. Discovery's back in third.
Yeah, she was. It's not too many debutante winners have been beaten on their first 4 starts and come out and win. I'm not sure how good a race it was. The rag ran on to be second, Gavin Cromwell's filly, but you couldn't fault the manner in which she did it, and I'm sure we'll see her pitch up in the miler.
Let's talk Tipperary on Thursday, which is obviously pivoted by the Coolmore Stud, No Nay Never Fairy Bridge Stakes, which is interesting because Ben Cohen will be riding for Archie Watson. Parents Prayer, who has exactly the same rating as Pearls Galore, who'd more or less be my winner, Fran. There are probably a few disappointments in the race fairy house the last day. You know, Paddy Toomey's filly, she's been very, very solid. I think she'll take a bit of beating in this.
Yeah, she's a very likable filly, Pearls Galore. She will absolutely love going left-handed around the bend. For all that she has one right-handed, it should suit her very well, Johnny. I actually have come around to liking Loch Lynn to some extent, for all that. Maybe her form in France, she has to step it up a little bit, and you'd hope that the ground doesn't dry out from the current yielding. She was due to run in France last week in a Group 3. I believe she had a high temperature after a trip over or something went awry, but Loch Lynn might be back to the promise she's shown, more so as a 2-year-old. Rock-A-Roma, she's a bit of an enigma for Gerard Lyons. I thought she was going to do way better than what she has done to date, but she did have a good win at Killarney recently, winning by 0.5 length, and I think there's a better filly in there than what we've seen to date.
It's well worth her place. I suppose Johnny Mack, the obvious point to start here, in some respects, pretty gorgeous. Despite the fact she's so big, it wasn't a bad run the last at Newmark, just hasn't trained on by the looks of it.
Yeah, the vibes were a bit indifferent, weren't they? Back at the start of the season, and she's been well beaten in her 3 runs so far. This is a big drop in class 4 now, down into Group 3 company, but I think she's more of a watching mission than a backing proposition.
Anything else for either of you at Tipperary before we get to the Curra?
The 5:25, there's a cracking little winner's race. Speaking colours, you'd hope he's going to find a level somewhere that he can be competitive again, and maybe running around a bend might just spark up his interest again. He's not been in the same form at all recently. He's down to mark of 103 from, you know, 114 at the start of the year. But I'd be interested to see him around a bend in Tipperary on a flat track. Could play to his strengths a lot, especially with a fast pace with Nebo, who Ben Cohn will be riding in the race. And he's interesting. I like that horse. I'd like to see him getting back in the winner's enclosure. For all that, he probably has somewhat of a health warning at the minute as regards to his current form.
Johnny Mack?
The second maiden, Johnny, is very interesting maiden. The fifth maiden, we got history in it. She's the filly finished second to Discovery's first time out. She also had an entry in the Flame of Tara, but they've opted to go for this. And Joseph O'Brien's filly in the same race, Awesome Wonder. If you go back to that Albula maiden at Nace today, she made a huge amount of ground up late on to finish fifth. That could be a very, very hot maiden, that second maiden on Thursday night.
It does look good, maiden. And I'm going to go with Catherine Cree in the 7 o'clock. I just think this, she's going to be a prize. She's only ever won on the all-weather. She can be a bit tricky, but Siobhan Rutledge, trip pretty much perfect. Good draw. It's a very, very winnable race. I think if you forgive her last one, she's a master chance. Let's get to the Curra. The feature at the Curra is, I think it's a handicap actually, that Aidan McGuinness is yet to win, despite the fact he actually has five runners in the race, and you'd give him, I suppose, every chance to win the Irish Championship. That's at 6:45. But this is a card that's laden with quality, if not quite the top tier quality. It's just a very good card. Flame of Tara, Snow Fairy, and the Round Tower as well, all of these group threes. So we start at the first of the group threes, the Flame of Tara. And this obviously involves a renewal of rivalry between Albula and Magical Lagoon, who clashed 26 days ago. Fran, this is a very, very interesting race. Two very promising fillies as well as She's Trouble.
Very much so. And Albula was very impressive in Nace. There was a little bit of talk about her that she could be nice, but being a Joseph O'Brien trained newcomer, you would expect him to perhaps fall out of stalls and run home well to be placed, but she didn't. She jumped, travelled really well into race, and you call her winner two out. And I thought she was quite impressive in the way in which she done it. Now, Dabana, who she beat, was disappointing last week. She's given her form a bit of a knock. I thought she'd win last week in Nace on Sunday. She ran maybe too bad to be true. Magical Lagoon was a very good debut run, is entitled to improve. She's Trouble. We didn't see her since winning in tough going at the Curra and Guineas weekend. She battled on well in a race that hasn't worked out all that well. And it's interesting to see Aidan O'Brien run two in it, one that didn't really show up at the Curra, Kissy Later, and Shamey Heffernan riding Lullaby, a first time out debut, and Galileo of Holy Alliance. But looking at the race, Johnny, I can't see beyond Albula. If she shows the same progression that she should do as Magical Lagoon, she should confirm form with that one. I think Joseph Ryan has an interesting pair going forward from Meidler Stud Stakes on the back of this, if she gets through this and Agartha runs as well.
Yeah, the Garth, as we mentioned, four fillies by Galileo here, basically, that'll maybe take centre stage, Johnny Mack. But like, you can make a very, very strong case for this Albula, who Joseph O'Brien horse is very rarely win first time out. She's by Galileo, so she seems really certain to improve. I know Magical Lagoon was sent off favourite, but it was absolutely no match for her. Should win.
Yeah, I agree, Johnny. There wasn't a bean for Albula that day. She was a big, big drifter. Magical Lagoon was all the rage that morning, but Albula, looking back on the race this morning, I can't see any reason why Jessica Harrington's Juvenile will reverse that Nace form.
Staying with you, Johnny Mack, for the Snow Fairy, obviously honouring that great filly. What are your thoughts on Champers Elysia, the season that she's had, which has, it's fair to say, has been a small bit underwhelming?
It has, Johnny, but if you look back at her Royal Ascot run, it wasn't that bad. It was the Group 2, the Duke of Cambridge Stakes. They probably have an eye on the Matron Stakes again for her, but still, if she runs anywhere near her best, she'll definitely be there or thereabouts.
Are you backing her?
No.
Fran?
Champers Elysia, very happy to watch her. She was on such a good roll last year that she, you know, improved. And, you know, obviously got that big win, the Matron Stakes. Just hasn't hit that, you know, line of form this year. And sometimes very hard to repeat that on a second occasion, particularly for a filly that got to that height. So very, very happy to look away from her. I do like Manny up to a point, even though she's disappointed me somewhat on occasions. I See You Baby, very interesting going for a four-timer. But I would give Una Data a big mention. I think she's very interesting. I thought her run behind Earlswood and Decorra in the Royal Whip was good, Johnny. She'd previously gone out under the stalls with Shane Foley and got rid of him at the start. And she showed something like her two-year-old form on the last day. And the drying ground, the better ground will be, the better her chance.
I think she's a great chance, actually. And I think that was a very, very strong renewal the last day, in fairness. You look at some of the horses behind her on that occasion. And she's taken on back against kind of the fillies here. I'd give her a massive chance as well. Just too many doubts with Champs-Élysées. And as Johnny Max is obviously Irish Champions Weekend coming up, that may well be the sort of plan there. The Round Tower is intriguing, to put it mildly. Aidan O'Brien is obviously strongly represented. The Entertainer's probably, you'd have to say, been a shade disappointing, ridden by Shamie Heffernan. The Acropolis is ridden by Wayne Lorden. Cowboy Justice was obviously very good the last day. This is a horse by Luke De Vega, who obviously Jessica Harrington has done very well with. And then you have Sam Maximus coming over from Tom Dascombe's yard, sort of showcasing who's gone up from a mark of 86 to 107 after that run at Newmarket the last day, Fran.
Yes, and it's a cracking little race. Ger Lyons, his two runners, he'd love to have either one of them, really, wouldn't you? Geocentric, very good winner on its on a, her second start. She's by Churchill. Excuse me, not Churchill, Kodiak.
Yeah.
Johnny Murtagh's filly, Ladies Church, is by Churchill. And Colin Keane sticks with Sacred Bridge, which you'd have to, I suppose, on base on what she's done to date. But Geocentric is a definite worthy second string. And I do like Ladies Church. I think she's improved with racing. I think she's been getting away ability-wise in class, been getting her away with winning over 5 furlongs. And I think stepping up to 6 furlongs should bring about further improvement for her.
Yeah, Lupi Fernandez actually won this race 2 years ago, Johnny Mac, and the likes of Smack Williams has won it as well. Litra Moore, just looking at some of the past winners, and so many of these coming in unexposed. Jockey Bookin's obviously interesting. 6 furlongs at the Curragh, pretty much no excuses.
Yeah, the fillies look quite strong, as Fran mentioned, Ladies Church. I'm not sure how good that Ballyhane Stakes was, the Sacred Bridge won. The second, the Hannon Juvenile, was hammered next time out in a nursery. And the third was Ultramarine, and that's a 5-race main. I thought Jessica Harrington's one up the top, Cowboy Justice. I know it won it a slowly run maiden last time, but the form of its debut run, it was second behind Beauty Inspired. That's been I think that could win it, Cowboy Justice, at a push.
Yeah, it's a cracking renewal of the Round Tower Stakes. So all of this you can obviously see on Racing TV, and we'll get to the best other bets after talk about the Cambridgeshire, which I think could well go to Joseph O'Brien. I'm going to make a case there, Fran, for I think she's actually the bottom weight altogether. Music to my ears. Another horse by Australia who were given a favourable mention to. She's back down to a mark of 84. Now, her run at Lingfield the last, so you'd have to kind of exonerate her, but her prior to that, her run at Goran was really, really strong. She loved the Curragh. She's drawn 7. She's no weight. I think everything's in her favour. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I would be with you. Music to my ears. Best for her form, particularly that Goran run when she ran home to be third. Would leave her there with every chance at the weights. Look, where do you start? Carry the one is a bit of class. Johnny Marcus runner. Toshi Zoo, I think he definitely needs a mile and a quarter, but if he gets a fast run race, and he should be sharper for that comeback run at the Curragh when he was third or fourth, should go well. Maddy Puddle is a pace angle. I don't know if she'd be suited by the Curragh. I think running around a bend suits her style of running. One I do like is number 24, Crystal Black. Dermot Wells' runner is interesting. Ready winner at Ballinrobe, then pitched back 3 furlongs and trip at the Curragh over 6 furlongs. Didn't run too badly, beaten 6 lengths. 8-8, Chris Hayes booked. I think he's a little bit of value at a current price, 12-1, against the field in a race where you can, Johnny, you can make a case for any of them at all. Like, it's very hard to discount any of them. Lust, Ger Lyons' Eagle's Flight. You know, there's so many of them there with strands of form, but this one is a real, you know, not under radar, but underexposed horse, if you like.
Name your two winners in the race.
Oh, I'll go with Crystal Black, and I will go with Music to My Ears also.
What I actually meant was name your two winners of the race in terms of the two winners that you rode in the race, but that's even better. Yeah, you've actually told us who the winner as well.
Yeah, I won on Jalmir for Charlie Swan, and I won on, Lord, can't remember.
Must get hint of a tent for David Watchman.
Yes, and she nearly killed me on the way to the start. She came out of the ring and flipped straight over. There's a great picture there where she was almost gone beyond a point and no return, but once she got to the start, she was a very good filly, and she's actually bred a couple of decent ones, yeah.
It's always nice to get these stories. Are you at the point of no return, Johnny Mack, in this race? Do you have the winner? What sort of specials will Bar One Racing have on this, considering the 27 field?
Yeah, just watch out for price boosts and also extra places, Johnny. I would say we'll be paying, I'd say, six places on the race. A couple to mention, Dream Tail, he got a horror passage at Galway. He was drawn one, he blew the start, and then they slowed it up, and he was on the rail, and he had no hope from there. He could run well for Andy Oliver. And I thought the Geraldine's horse is well lost. He's a horse who looks like he's been primed for it. He won a handicap on Guineas weekend. We haven't seen him since then. So you'd imagine the Maestro Lines has had this race on the agenda for quite a while.
Anything else for you at the Curragh, Johnny Mack, or at Down Royal?
Yeah, there's one or two others. We were mentioning Ebor, weren't we? I know Ben Cohen, we were hoping to have him on. High Stranger, John Kiley's filly, out of an Ebor winner, Sesenta. She won a Limerick bumper back in July. She should be hard to beat. She has got a winner's penalty in that bumper at Down Royal, but she should be hard to beat.
What in yourself, Fran?
Elsewhere in the card, I've one that I will be napping, and in the last race, I will give Thunder Rain a mention. Extra Lions horse was claimed by Donny Hassett. He definitely has a race in him if he jumps out of stalls, and he'll probably be a double figure price in that apprentice race, in a race which they'll go quick if he comes out anyway in terms. He's a bit of each way value. And other than that, we've kind of gone through them all. Pretty Boy Flight in the 6:15 is interesting for all its six furlongs, might stretch him a little bit. And ex-Dennis Hogan trained filly Lady Princess, interesting recruit to William McCreary, won a list race in Ferrias last year. Lost her form a little bit, but just be interested to see the stable switch and what that does for her.
Yeah, that Pretty Boy Floyd race is definitely interesting. Mia Mento, I mean, just if she could actually break at all, she surely has one of these in her. And just looking down then at the 7 furlong handicap, which is, it closes the card. I think Niamh Bennett still seeking her first win. She has done absolutely nothing wrong, and she's in the game, who herself has done very little wrong, and she's been knocking on the door back up to 7 furlongs. I think she must have a very good chance. Just to mention Down Royal as well, there's a smart card there at Down Royal, particularly smart race, the Tommy Donnelly hurdle. When you have Go Another One rated 141, the likes of Tully Begg in the race as well. And those days are gone for Charles and Philip Burns. It's time for naps, starting with you, Fran.
My nap comes in the 7:15. It's a nursery, which can sometimes be a little bit of a landmine. And you've got Holt, who's the top weight on the back for Goodwin at Killarney, over Miley's back of Furling and Trip. You have a couple of horses that have won, obviously Recurrent Dream and Tutput and Malayan of Dermot Wells, who's done well since Galway. However, I'm going to go for the one down the bottom, near the bottom, number 8, New Star, trained by Johnny Murta, Jamie Powell taking a ride. This one's a real eye-catcher in his handicap debut at the Curragh, stayed on strongly, and if you let the video run on for 150 yards past the line, he was gone lengths clear of his rivals over that 6 furlong trip. He's got another furlong to go on Friday. For me, New Star will be the one.
That's a great show. What do you make of Jamie?
He's doing very well. He took him a long time relatively to ride a winner, so in comparison to some of his peers, if you like, but that can, you know, I was talking to a few people about this. That's not a bad thing nowadays, you know, because once you get rolling, you've got a body of experience to back it up. Whereas if you ride a winner or two and you get rolling with very little riding or knowledge of the tracks, you can often get caught out, and you don't get too many second chances riding for some trainers. So to have that experience and a bit of groundwork he's built up in the last 18 months should stand him in good stead. He's still claiming £10. Hopefully he won't be after Friday night.
How long were you actually riding your first winner?
Six or 11 rides. Maybank Holiday 1996. I was 15. I was in school on the Monday. The Bank Holiday Monday in Navan. I was in school doing my junior cert on the Tuesday. So yeah,
precocious, I think, is the word, Johnny Mack.
Yeah, Laura's Bow, you got loads of experience on, didn't you, Fran?
I did, yeah. And just back to the first winner, took me 80 or 90 rides, maybe 100 rides, and almost a year on before I rode another winner. And you know, seconds and thirds, and really frustrating, and long winter. And then I rode a double at Sligo on that occasion, second and third winner, and kind of got away. Miesta, actually, I won on that. Was my Loughmogue. My first winner was the same. Loughmogue was my first and second winner, and Miesta, who was a very good filly and was actually Tony Mackay's first ever winner for JP McManus. She won over hurdles after that at the Punchestown Festival, and the course was damn synchronized. So that's a bit of a.
That is the beauty of having a chat and having a pint with the likes of Fran Berry, Johnny Mackin, that you get all this information. You go from his first winner to his second winner to Tony McCoy's first winner to the Dam of Synchronized. The unfortunate thing is, obviously, when you have a pint and you have another pint with Fran and he discusses all this, you pretty much forget about it all. But he is good entertainment, and he's a mine of knowledge, actually.
He is, yeah, and I agree. I think a night out with Fran Berry, you get plenty of information. He mightn't disclose it all, though.
We will give away some sort of a prize, which is a night out with Fran Berry on the podcast, on the Wire in due course. First of all, though, let's get your nap, Johnny Mac.
I put up Cowboy Justice in the round tower, Johnny.
Give us your explanation.
He won, admittedly, a slowly run maiden at the Curra the last day, but I think he's a horse with a lot of promise. And that maiden, he was second in first time out. It was quite a decent maiden. I think he's a horse that'll improve again.
Yeah, and Johnny Mack's been in brilliant form since the start of the podcast, full stop with his naps. What better than a 27-runner handicap to go for a nap? Very confident with that filly last week, and that should go well. Big prize, unfortunately, denied. Hopefully, we'll go one better with Music to My Ears. Now, to be fair, it is a dramatically hard renewal of the Irish Cambridgeshire.
We nearly give each way terms in that, wouldn't we, given the race it is?
Yeah, it is a bit of a minefield. The mile over the Curra, Fran, just in terms of your... If there's any sort of a draw by us here, what is it?
All depends where the track is configured and on the ground, but I'd imagine the Cambridgeshire's usually run up the middle track, and they'll be saving the near side track, of course, for Champions Weekend, so it'll be the middle track, and the draw bias is not as pronounced there. You know, they tend to be funneled in a bit more, and you often see winners coming up towards the stand side of the track, middle to stand side, so I wouldn't mind it as much on the likes of this. It's more pace dependent. The one thing you don't want drawn out wide in the car over that trip is to get stuck behind Deadwood in the first two furlongs when you meet that bend at the six furlong, between the six and seven furlong marker, because if you do, they can tend to drag you through, back through the race, and the leaders are getting away in you. So, you know, it's, I suppose, comes down to having a bit of luck in what's drawn around you, and having your homework done to make sure you're following the right ones within reason.
What was your favourite track to ride, Fran, in Ireland?
The Leopardstown was a challenge, yeah. Leopardstown was good.
And wasn't a challenge. You figured out that they watered like everywhere except the bloody the stand side. So you came up about 77 wide, and I mean Larkin Wire had to even change the course because you were doing it so much.
Yeah, he done away. He put a white railing up to stop me going too wide and ruining his track. But I used to enjoy Leopardstown. It was I think I had a good knack of riding it, and that used to be a big thrill, you know, when you turn in last and go wide, and then all of a sudden you're in front. So that was good. But the Curra's home, and you know, any winner there was special, you know.
And just as we finish the naps, magically Ben Cohen has arrived. Ben, you're said to be the most laid back man in the world, not to mind racing, but you're the puncher.
Yeah, puncher on the way to ride work. Yeah, so I had to get it fixed. So I was rushing.
Did you celebrate the Ebor? What was it like? I know you're the Royal Ascot winner this year as well. You're said to be fairly relaxed when these things happen. It's not been a bad few weeks and months for you.
Yeah, no, things are going well. I didn't really celebrate. I went out for dinner with my mother and father, so that's about it. So no, it was a great year so far, anyway.
What's it like being upstaged by your younger brother, who's obviously unbeaten as a rider so far?
Yeah, it was a good weekend all around. It was great to see. I got a good kick out of watching him.
You say, like, Fran, you were talking about your early days. Special, special time for his parents.
Huge, huge day for him. And I seen a picture of Ben after race with his brother. You know, it was fantastic. And kind of dream start from Ben.
Yeah, no, definitely. Look, he didn't get to ride much pony racing last year due to COVID, but he got going well at it this year, and he improved a lot. So hopefully he can keep the weight down and get going on the apprentice ranks.
Just on that, Ben, like he's, I think your uncle Andrew Slattery said this after the race that he may have an issue with his weight. We're just watching it back here, this initial win on Dare to Flair. But is he likely to go down the jumps route, do you think?
Well, the plan is to see what his weight is like after a year on the flat and just probably just ride on the flat to tidy himself up and get a bit of experience. But he loves the jumping, so he wouldn't mind going down that route anyway. So if he has to, there'll be no problem.
How's your own weight?
My weight's good, to be fair. Look, Johnny is a big help with my weight. He doesn't push me to do too light when I'm struggling. So it's after settling down now over the last 2 years.
And this all means you can have days like this. And just winning the Ebor, what was it like?
Oh, it was brilliant. Look, I jumped off it. I was a bit too far back, but then there was pace injected into it, and I was delighted. Sonny Boy wouldn't be the strongest of travellers. You'd have been half niggling them the whole way, but when I really wanted them three out to pick up, you picked up really well. And it was unbelievable to pass the line in front.
These are big wins, Fran. You were obviously over in York, and these wins can kind of announce the jockey as well as obviously the winner, Royal Ascot, but they can announce you to a different audience, I suppose.
Huge day for Ben, as it has been all year, obviously, with Ottoman Emperor in Goodwood and winning in Crepe Belief at Ascot. And, you know, the Ebor's probably even a more interesting race in some respects. It's watched the world over, particularly in Australia. A lot of Australian trainers and owners are looking at it with a view to maybe buying the next Melbourne Cup winner. So it is a race that garners a hell of a lot of attention. Great race in its own right, and just caps what has been an amazing year for Ben and Johnny.
What have you made of him, Johnny Mac?
Oh, excellent. Yeah, your progress has been unbelievable, Ben. What's it like for Ben to go into the English Way Room and ride against the likes of Dettori, those superstars? What's it like to ride against them?
Yeah, it's great. Look, to be going out, walking out the parade ring with Dettori, Oisin Murphy and William Buick and all them, it's brilliant. Look, to be riding against those, that's what you need to improve to get to the next level. To be learning tips off them and watching them, how they do it. So, it's great. Big confidence boost when you are riding winners against them.
I'd say Johnny is a man that puts great confidence in you. He comes across as a really positive kind of person.
Yeah, well, that's it. Look, he doesn't complicate things for me. He lets me see what I think and see what he thinks then, and we make a plan and we stick to it. So, look, he doesn't confuse things with me, which is a big help. So you're riding with that bit more confidence when you know the trainer trusts you. So, brilliant.
Yeah. We'll just get through your mounts, actually. Tipperary, you've Arlusen, the first, Ben. Obviously, this is a claiming maiden.
Yeah, Arlusen, look, he had a not great first run in Cork, but he ran well the last day in Roscommon in what was looks to be a competitive race. So look, he's probably stepping down a bit in grade tomorrow, and he bounced out of the race well. So look, we're hoping for a nice run from him.
And as Johnny Mac mentioned, the filly's maiden is a strong maiden, the second race, and you're on Carkina.
Yeah, Carkina. She was fourth in a steadily run race the last day in Leopardstown. I thought if I sat a bit handier, I might have been that bit closer, but we went steady and sprinted up the straight. So she'd probably like a more even gallop the whole way. It looks competitive on paper, but she's in great nick at home, and we're hoping she'll be in the first couple anyway.
You definitely must have high hopes for Nebo in the Meadowland Stables race, riding for Tom Hogan, your fellow Tipperary man.
Yeah, no, Nebo won well in Goring the last day, and I was probably a shade unlucky. I know I finished fifth in Galway in the Ahenora, but he got a bit impeded by the loose horse coming down into the dip. But he's really after finding a new lease of life this year, and he liked the good ground down there. So Tom says he's in good form, so I'm looking forward to getting back on him.
And how do you end up on Parents' Prayer in the filly in the feature race?
I actually won a listed race on Parents' Prayer towards the end of last year in Nace for Archie. And I've had a couple of rides since for him then, and just got on well together, really. That she was my first ride and I was a winner, so we got off on a good note. And it's great to be getting those rides for English trainers, bringing the horses over.
Did he give you any nod to her chance taking on Pearl's Glory?
I haven't been talking to him yet. Look, it looks a very hot listed race on paper, so she could probably do it a bit more range. She likes a cut in it, but she has been running well in very good company in England, so hopefully she'll have a fighting chance.
And finally, the utterly admirable Urban Beat in the Aberguan.
Yeah, look, he's in great nick at home. He probably wouldn't mind a bit more rain either, but he has won on good ground in the Curragh. He won the Rockingham, but yeah, he looks to be in good nick at home. I don't get to ride him much at home, so I like riding him at the races. He's a good ride at the races.
Fran Berry, you can take over in terms of his three rides, but in terms of Champs-Élysées, Fran, you just had some reservations about maybe her form this season going into the Snow Fairy.
I do. Ben, obviously things didn't work out. Newmarket was a messy race the last day. She didn't run too badly in Royal Ascot, but it's just very hard to repeat the year that she had last year. Everything went so well and so progressive. Is she giving you any vibes at home that she could be on the way back, given she did peak this time last year?
Yeah, I think she's in good nick. Look, she hasn't got that blistering mile pace yet this year to run at. And we've been going steady and sprinting. And the last day, I thought I would have ran well. I thought I would have finished fourth or fifth the last day if I didn't get knocked down. But I think she needs to come with one run out down the outside with plenty of space off a good gallop. So I'm hoping I get that in the Curragh Friday. She's in good nick. She had a little break after the last day, and she looks great at home, feels great. So look, hopefully we can get her back on winning terms. She has no penalty on Friday. So look, we're hopeful of a nice run.
Excellent. And in the Round Tower Stakes, very interested. First of all, how is Ladies Church?
Yeah, Ladies Church is very good. I rode her work the other morning, and she's flying. I think she's a nice filly. The English horse coming over, that's probably the horse to beat on paper. It looks a hot race, but I'm looking forward to getting my leg over Ladies Church on Friday.
I said earlier on in our show, just in a preview of the card, that she's been getting away, or a bit of class has been getting her away with winning over five furlongs. I'd say up to six, would she be a lot better at that distance, would you think? Or is that, am I talking nonsense?
No, I would have preferred her over six every time she ran. Look, I thought even when she won her maiden in Tipperary over five, it kind of surprised me that she had the boot to win over a sharp five like that. But I've always said that anytime I've come back in after riding her, I think she'd be nice. Better over six, so I'm looking forward to her. She's in great nick.
Excellent. And finally, easy race for you to Cambridgeshire, only 27 runners, but good riding it.
Yeah, good ride, Terry. The one, he's off a long layoff, but he's in good shape at home. He's been working well. Look, he's a lot of weight in it, but it's a nice race for him to start back off in. He was competitive last year and very good maiden, so look, I'm looking forward to him.
Before we finish up, the first time I met you, Ben, you were doing the Leaving Cert the following week, and you didn't even know what day you were starting. I think you thought it was Friday and it was Wednesday. You've come a long way since then, but what are your ambitions?
Look, just to keep improving, learning the whole time. And look, I'm still chasing that big Group 1 winner, so I'm chasing them. I'm chasing them big day, big winners. So and just keep improving my riding and building more contacts up the whole time. So, I just want to keep getting better and improving.
I suppose, Fran, it helps that he is so kind of laid back as well, that he takes things in his stride. He's well able to do weights. He's well able to, well, he's probably going into the man that he's going to be. And, you know, the sky's the limit for this kid.
Ah, look, it's a great start to his career, and he's complete opposite of Johnny. Johnny's quite energetic and intense, so it probably works as a match. But Ben, Irish Champions weekend, you missed the last year. You missed Champs-Élysées with an unfortunate injury. I hope you're going to tell me you won't be in Leopardstown on Saturday, that you'll be in Doncaster for the Ledger for Autumn and Emperor. What can you tell us about him?
He's in good nick. I'm going to see what the weather does first and see what the ground is like where. But it's not going to be an easy decision. But Ottoman Emperor's in very good form. He came out of Goodwood like he didn't even have a race. So, I'm a bit scratching my head over what to do, but I'm going to wait and see what the ground is like in both places.
Yeah, that's a nice choice to have. Ben, it's been brilliant having you on.
Perfect, thank you.
What's your best of the mounts, do you think, Thursday and Friday?
I like Urban Beats chances tomorrow, and I think Ladies Church Friday.
Thanks a million for that. Thanks for coming in, Johnny Mac, as ever.
Thanks, Johnny.
Thanks to Fran Berry. Fran, you're going to get into a bit of sunshine and sea into you now?
Back to the beach, lads. I'm going to have a good one. Have a good weekend.
Thanks to Ben Cohen, and thanks to our sponsor, Bar One. Thank you for watching and listening.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to On The Wire Racing TV's podcast, brought to you in association with Bar One Racing. And if you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave a review, give us a like and subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. And this podcast is available on video format in all its glory on YouTube. And you'll also find us on racingtv.com and on audio at Apple Podcasts, Spotify and numerous other platforms. Don't forget, if you are having a bet this weekend following any of our selections or so on, gamble responsibly and do visit begambleaware.org for more information.